I didn't come here this morning to be judged, and you didn't come here to be judged. Amen? What we did today, we came here because we have a God, an awesome God that's worthy to be praised, a God that requires for you and me to live a godly life. In order to be a recipient of that great place called heaven, you and I are to live a godly life. You'll notice that's the title of our lesson this morning. Would you repeat with me those words, a godly life? One more time, a godly life. Looking at what your Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17, the Bible says, and whatever you do in word or deed, the Bible says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, watch this, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So when we think about what's going on in that situation, what this passage of Scripture is clearly telling us is that we need to be living our life, a godly life for Jesus Christ. As I said, I didn't come here to be judged. You didn't come here to be judged. But we came here today to prepare for God's judgment, didn't we? Because that's the judgment that actually counts. That's the judgment that will determine whether we're recipients of that great place called heaven or rejected from Him and sent to that place called hell. So when we think about what Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, that certainly does bring up many interesting points, and we're not going to go into all of those today, but I just want to share with you the fact that this passage promotes for you and me to be sure that we are living a godly life. So are you thinking about changes that need to be made in your life today? Are there any changes that need to come about to live, to be able to know that you are living a godly life? What changes would you say, as you and I look at our lives individually, what would you say needs to change? What would you say needs to take place so that we can be confident in us living for Jesus Christ? What areas of your life are most challenging for you? What are some of the obstacles that you need to overcome to so that you'll know, according to the Bible, that you are living godly? Godly as the Bible describes godly. Godly as living righteous before God the Father. What obstacles would you say that you're up against? What walls are you up against? What mountain are you up against? Knowing that, hey, I need to be able to make these changes in order to be acceptable in God's sight. Maybe it's my temper that I need to work on. Maybe I just, you know, get ticked off really, really quick, and maybe I need to work on that. I know for me, I certainly need to. Perhaps it's maybe an addiction. Maybe you're addicted to alcohol. Maybe you're addicted to pornography. Maybe you're addicted to forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Maybe you're addicted to many worldly things. You didn't come here today to be judged. You come here today to be encouraged. I didn't come here to be judged. I come here to be encouraged. I just want to remind all of us, according to the Bible, that if we are going to be found living a godly life, then changes have got to be made. Amen? Do you agree with that? We've got to make changes. And let me remind all of us Christians, we are not perfect people. Do you get that? So we need to be very careful that out in the middle of John Q. Public that we don't think we're perfect. We just need to know with confidence that we're forgiven. Amen? And that we need to be able to share that with those that are about us. So we need to look at some things in our own lives. Maybe it's a lack of involvement in church. Are we truly involved in the worship services of the church, or one of those pew warmers? There's a bunch of people today's pew warmers, isn't it? And then many times the pew warmers are the ones that are so distraught. It's the pew warmers, those that don't really do a whole lot that you can see that's visible in the Lord's church. Sometimes those are the ones that will complain the most, the ones that do the least. Have you ever heard about that? We're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. We're just reminding each and every one of us, maybe it's a problem in my life. Perhaps it's a problem in your life. But maybe we need to change that. You know, don't expect everybody else to do it if we're not doing it. Is that right? So let's get involved in the church. Maybe that's a habit we need to create. Maybe it's worldly habits of getting things done that the Lord wants us to get done. Again, looking at our own life today and considering what the Scripture says. You know, that's what's important. What the Scripture determines. What the Scriptures describe as godly living. Not what another person may say is godly living, because they may have a different idea. I want to know what God says, amen? I want to know what our Heavenly Father says. I don't want to go by what my dad taught me. I loved my father, but, you know, I don't want to go by what he says. I don't want to go by what Paula says or Bobby says or anybody else says. I want to go by what God says, because Bobby and Jerry and Amy do not have the power to get me into heaven. Is that right? But what they do have the power to do is to encourage me and to help me and I can encourage you. But again, you didn't come here to get judged, and I didn't come here to get judged, but we come here to be prepared for that great judgment that's coming. The only way that we're going to get there is by living a godly life. How do we know if we're living a godly life? Let the Lord explain to us what a godly life is. Does that make sense? All right. So let's go over to the 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 5, verse 17. We're probably familiar with what Paul told the church at Corinth about living a godly life. We know that there were some issues that was going on there with the church at Corinth and with the people of Corinth. They were involved in immorality, and some of them was idol worshiping, and some of these folks were all caught up in many different things and perhaps thinking, well, that's good enough, it don't really matter. Well, Paul makes some things very clear. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the Bible says he is what? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things. What does that mean? That means all your life, everything has become what? All things have become new. Let us not forget what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, down around verse 18. The Bible says, and having been set free from what? You became slaves of righteousness. You know, brothers and sisters, when you look at that passage of Scripture, it ought to run chill bumps down your arms. When we look at what the Bible says, you have been set free from sin, from the bondage of sin, from the snare of sin, from the trap of sin. Thank you, God, for loving us this much that you allowed this. Does that make sense? Thank you, God, for caring for somebody like me, that you, Jesus, left heaven to come and rescue a worm like me, giving me an opportunity at salvation. All things, those things are gone. All things are new in my relationship with God. Does that make sense? It has to. That's what the Bible says. Then look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to go there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, for this is the will of God. Watch this. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Go ahead and catch verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. For God did not call us to what? Uncleanliness, but he called you and me to holiness. So when you look at what was being told to the church of Thessalonica and to those people there, they was getting involved in things, just like people today's getting involved in things. Do you agree with that? And the Lord is telling us today, just like he told them in days past, you can't practice these things and still be considered living a godly life. You've got to choose. You can't do these things and be acceptable to God. So today I want to make sure that we understand that we are to live. The title of the lesson is a congregation. Would you say that with me? A godly life. So listen, as believers, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we are called to live a life emulating. That means to live a life following the example of Jesus, living like he lives, emulating Jesus, living as Christ wants us to live, living a life fully surrendered unto Jesus Christ himself. I'm convinced today that every single individual assembled in this room today, I'm sure that we all have habits that need to go away. Does that sound about right? Some habits that need to change, and I'm sure that our habits would vary a great deal. You know the ones today that needs to be changed. You know the habits that need to be dropped. I know for me, there are habits that I'm not proud of. And I know for you, you've got some habits that perhaps you're not proud of. And I know just like Paul, when he went to the Lord, three times about something in his side. You remember it? It was described as he had a what in his side? And he went to the Lord and said, can this thorn be moved? He said, nope. My what? My grace is what? Sufficient. Sometimes we know that we've got a thorn in our side. Sometimes we know, and if we look at our own life truthfully, we know what needs to change, don't we? When we look in our own lives, we know what needs to change. Do you agree with that? So we want to make sure that we're living a godly life. And yes, there are habits that need to be dropped. Yes, there are new things that need to start taking place in our lives. Yes, we are to live our life according to what Jesus says and not what mankind says. Remember this, a habit is a recurring pattern, isn't it? A habit is a recurring pattern of behavior that happens over and over and over. Even if it's something that you're not proud of, perhaps even something that you may even be ashamed of, but yet the habit continues on and on and on. Let me remind myself and you too that that's not repentance. Because repentance means it's a change of heart, a change of mind that changes our heart. And when we have a change of mind that changes our heart, that will change our lifestyle. Does that make sense? And when our lifestyle changes, we will drop those old habits and we'll pick up lordly, godly habits. Does that make sense? So I just want to encourage us today to be sure that when we leave this building today, that we are encouraged to try harder to live a... Very good. So a godly life is just going to be one that I have to finally say no to myself. That's hard to do because I'm extremely selfish. If we have a big caramel pie right there, and Tabitha says, Jerry, can I have just a slice of that caramel pie? Well, I might give her a little bitty piece, but the rest of it is, okay, I'll go ahead and share it with you, but not Esther. And so, you know, I want to make sure because, you know, I'm a selfish person. And to be honest with you, we're probably all selfish in some shape, form, or fashion, aren't we? But we need to be sure today that we're not too selfish, that we don't share the love for the Lord, that we don't share God with each other, that we're setting the right kind of example, that we're living a... So let's take a look this morning at just about two or three short points, things we can consider as we talk about living a godly life. The first point I want us to examine this morning as we talk about a godly life is a life of prayer. Did you know that? Some may ask, why does Jerry keep talking about prayer? Because for one, that's one of the most neglected, rejected commandments that we are involved in today. It seems that society today and Christians and non-Christians alike, it seems that when we face trials and difficulties, that's when we go to God in prayer the strongest, doesn't it? Doesn't it? But when everything is going well and our health is good and everything is fine, you got a paycheck coming Friday, everything's good, the car's full of gasoline, the oil's been changed, the tires are good, we don't need you right now, God. So the prayers just don't seem to go up as often. We often ask God, God, why me? Why did this happen to happen? Why did this have to happen to me and my family? Why did my dad have to pass away? Why did my brother do this? Why did I get this? And why did that have to happen? And we start kind of blaming God in our prayers. You ever heard people do that? I've done it. Have you done it? And it's not good, is it? We shouldn't be saying that. It's okay to ask God for understanding, isn't it? It's okay to ask God for strength to be able to overcome the obstacle that we're faced at. But do you agree today that we should be, if we're going to question God on one sense, we should be questioning Him on the other? If I'm questioning God about bad things coming my way, then Bobby, I should be questioning God about this. God, why did you give me such a great wife? Why, God, did you give me a home to sleep in? Why, God, do I have a car that I can drive back and forth? Why, God, do I have good family and friends? Why, God, have you given me a great church family? Do we question God on the good things? Probably not, do we? But how quick will we go to Him with the blame? How quick will we go to Him and say, God, why did this happen to me? I just don't understand it. I tried to love you. I tried to follow you. I tried to do this, and this is the way you treat me. And we just beat up on Jesus Christ. Let us be reminded about what Jesus did on that cruel cross at Calvary. Whenever we get so caught up feeling sorry for ourselves and thinking, oh, woe is me, and oh, sad am I, and, you know, this is overwhelming, my financial situation's in trouble, and my job is bad, and this, that, and the other, grow up. Quit pouting. Look at what my Jesus did for me. Understand that? You know, we can all get caught up. I can get caught up in the cancer I've got, and I can wallow in that mire, if I may, and get caught up. And I appreciate the comments that people say, Jerry, you have such a good attitude about it. No, I don't. I've got my eyes focused on God, not on the disease. Amen? So when we're caught up in, if we get caught up in our little issues, then I can lose focus of the picture. And the real picture is my Jesus Christ. The real picture is God. The thing I'm longing for is not my home here. I don't want to leave here today, but if I leave here today, I'm going to that place tomorrow. Do you get that? So I'm not studying it, as we say in Woodbine. I'm not, how do we say it, Leanne? I'm not studying it. Is that about right? So I lend myself and my faith to God, not to these things of the world. Is that all right with everybody? Good, that's what I'm going to do whether you like it or not. And that's what you need to do. That's what we need to do together, amen? And it's part of living... Okay, part of living a godly life. Now, let's get on in this prayer a little bit. We need to get in a habit of prayer, yes or no? Are y'all in a habit today of praying? Awesome. A life of prayer is a life that will allow us to grow closer to God. Do not expect to grow closer to God if you're not talking to Him daily, amen? How do you expect to build a relationship with God if you don't talk to Him? I've been married to that beautiful lady back there for 40 years. I promise you, we would not have made it had we not communicated. When I tell Paula, I'm uncomfortable with some things that you're doing, and I don't like that. It makes me very angry. And she tells me, Jerry, I don't care. That didn't come out right, did it? But when she tells me, Jerry, you're doing things that I don't like, we try to adjust our lifestyles. We try to do what we can. We communicate because we want to encourage each other. Isn't that right? That relationship wouldn't have made it this far if we wasn't in communication. Don't think that your relationship with God's going to make it either if you're not in communication with Him. He's got to talk to you and you got to talk to Him. I'm not talking about putting your ear out of the window and saying, okay, God, I'm ready to listen. That's not how He communicates with us. If you're waiting on that voice from God, you're going to wait a long time. Do you understand that? How does God communicate with us today? Say it. The what? The Word of God. His Word. The Bible. Amen? All right, so let's make sure that we have that avenue of prayer, that we're doing what He's calling us to do. Head over to the book of James. I got to show you something. And the book of James is in the Old Testament. It's right past the book of Exodus. Don't start on me. It's right, okay. Right after Hebrew in the New Testament. All right. Go with me to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Will y'all be okay with that? I'm going to call on you to read something for me here in a second. Be ready. The congregation, be ready. You think I'll call out your name? Absolutely, Bobby. Absolutely, that big boy. He don't think I can run faster than him. He's crazy. He gets after me, I'll show him how fast I can run. All right, let's go. Watch this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms, right? If any one of you is sick, let him call for the elders over the church and let him say it. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith. Drop down to 16. Confess your trespasses to another and pray. There it is. Go to 17. No, excuse me. Finish up 16. All right. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent what? Of a righteous man. What does it do? Go to 17. Elijah was a man with a nature kind of like yours and mine, wasn't it? And he what? Go to 18. The Bible says, and he, again, that's what the Bible says, and he prayed. So when you look at verse 18, you see what happened? Those are results of his prayers and his faith in God. So you and I today, just in this, have four or five times that we're reminded, pray, 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 pray. If the Bible tells us to pray that many times in just those few verses, I'm going to take it for what it says as being dead on. Amen? All right. So we need to have a prayerful life. Yes or no? Matthew chapter 26. Would y'all mind going there with me? One person said yes. Thank you. Love you. Rest of y'all, you will not get a Christmas card. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at a thrilling example about prayer. We've looked at this many times. We're going to look at it again today. Matthew 26, 36 through 44. Is that all right with you? Go, let's go. Watch who's praying here. Are you ready? Then Jesus came, watch this, with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and over there. And then he took Peter, two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. 38. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. 39. He went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and the Bible says he, Jesus, did what? Prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, your will be done. Go to 40. The Bible says, and he came to the disciples, and he found them what? Said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me an hour? And in verse 41, the Bible says, watch and pray, the Bible says, lest you enter into temptation. Why? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, then don't stop. Go to 42. Again, a second time, he went away. This he is talking about who? Jesus. This he is talking about who? Jesus. And what did the Bible say he did in verse 42? He went away a second time, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father. Go to 43. And he came, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. 44. So he left them. Watch this. He left them, went away again, and what did he do? Prayed. So we're just continuing to see this word prayer involved. We saw it in James chapter 5. We've seen it with Jesus Christ himself. We know that John prayed for his folks. We know Jesus prayed for his folks. We know we pray for one another. Jesus prayed for us. I think those are perfect examples of prayer. Do you agree with that? So the Bible says man ought always to pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, the Bible says. So we have several injunctions, several commandments in the Bible that tells you and me that we ought to be involved in some serious prayer. The book of Mark. Does that mean anything to anybody? For three of y'all, it's not bad. Mark chapter 1, 32 through 35. Y'all ready? At evening, when the sun had set, they brought him, talking about Jesus. Now pay close attention to this. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought him to Jesus, all who were sick, those that were demon-possessed. 33. And the whole city was gathering together at the door. Then he, talking about Jesus, what did he do? He healed many who were sick and with various diseases. And he cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35. Now I want you to watch what's happening. Had Jesus been working? Had he been trying to help? Not just trying to help, but he did help, didn't he? 35. Now in the morning, having risen, watch this, a long while before daylight, he went away and departed to a solitary place, and there he was. There he prayed. Even Jesus himself had to get away, didn't he? He was helping. He was serving. He was doing his job. We know that he caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, didn't he? He even raised the dead. But did Jesus himself have to get away sometime? Did Jesus himself have to pull away from whatever the situation was and get and be able to communication with the Father? Yes, he did. There are times, brothers and sisters, that I can't help you. Your husband and your wife can't help you. Your boyfriend and girlfriend can't help you. God is the only one. Amen? Sometimes we have to go to our quiet room or your office or the bedroom or the man cave. You go wherever you want to, women cave, man cave, wherever you have to go. But you communicate with God. A godly life begins with godly communication. Do we understand that? Do we understand it? If we're not communicating with God, don't expect these blessings to flow. People often talk about, well, you know, I just pray God's blessings upon me. Well, he does bless us. But with those blessings comes responsibilities. We can't expect God just to keep pouring his blessings out and we do nothing in response. Does that make sense? If we want his blessings, do what he's calling us to do. You see, seriously speaking, it doesn't take long to see that Jesus had a strong relationship with his Father, and he stayed in constant prayer with him. Prayer promotes godliness in your life and in my life. It's not merely an occasional petition to the Father in times of trials and in times of difficulties or maybe in some serious need or something, but prayer. And the Bible talks about daily prayer, habitual prayer. Is that a good word? Getting in and being in a habit of prayer, serious conversation with the Father. We do that because we love him. We do that because we want our relationship to continue to grow. Some people, sadly, they meet Jesus in baptism. That's not sad, but what's sad is they come out of that water grave of baptism after making their confession, their belief in Jesus Christ, and they're all hyped up, and then before long, they're just not communicating with the Father anymore. And before long, you're back dead to Christ and alive to sin again. That's not what it's about, brothers and sisters. Jesus did not suffer what he went through on that cross in vain. Amen. He did it for you and for me. Don't let you and me be the ones that put him upon that cross in vain. We need to be offering prayers every day of appreciation. Does that make sense? Appreciating what God has done. We need to be praying every day for supplication as well. Amen? Supplies. Thank you, Lord. Here's what we need. And sanctification. Communicate with the Father because he loves us and we love him. Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 6. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto who? All right, so that means pray it to him. So we live in a world filled with evil, yes or no? Do you think any of us face temptations, trials, heartaches, burdens packed with sin? Yes, constantly. It never seems to end, but it does not have to be victorious over you and me. We can be victorious. And I've got news for you. We are victorious. Look where you're at this morning. No matter what you were facing this morning, no matter what you were facing yesterday or the day before, no matter what kind of week you've had, you, my friend, and myself, we're victorious. We're right here worshiping Almighty God. Amen. We're here today serving our God and receiving his blessings continually. I love what my brother Jim said the other day. We were talking about blessings and counting our blessings. And he said, Jerry, it really dawned on me, hit me pretty hard. It's going to be a sermon coming up. But he says, I thought he was serious. He said, I can't count my blessings. I said, what? He goes, I can't count my blessings. I said, well, why? And he goes, because I can't count that high. Isn't that cool? Now, I wanted to steal that so bad and use it as a sermon and say, let me tell y'all what I thought of. But I know we do Facebook, and I know he's listening, and I know he would send a letter to the church saying that the preacher's a liar, but I still could have had some credit there for a couple of weeks before he caught on. The reality is, brothers and sisters, we can't count that high, can we? Because God blesses us. Okay, so a godly life is a life of prayer. If you're in agreement, we're going to go to point two. All right, let's go. Point two, a godly life is a life of, I don't like this one, Teresa. I'm just going to tell y'all. I really don't. Tabitha, I don't like this next point. I didn't like it when I put it together last night, and I don't like it today, but I'm in violation. A godly life is a life of forgiving other people. Oh, listen at that. Well, I'm not the only one who's in danger, was I? But this lesson last night, it got me pretty hard, and I was in pouting phase two last night. Paula told me to get over it and forgive people. I'm like, well, I'm not through pouting right now. I'm still holding my grudge, and I still got some things I need to say. I got some things I got to get off of my, see, y'all guilty as I am. All right, so brothers and sisters, seriously speaking, if we're going to live a godly life, then you better develop a forgiving spirit. I better develop a forgiving spirit, isn't that right? I got to forgive these people that talk about me. Some, but you know what I want to do? I want to get you back. I do. I really, really do want to get you back. There's no need of me sitting here lying. If you say some bad things about me, I'm going to go, And then vandalism will come. And so what I have to do is learn to be able to forgive, just like the Lord forgave me, right? And continues to forgive. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to develop a stronger habit of forgiving those that sin against us. What if God was as stubborn as we are about forgiveness? Wouldn't we be in trouble? Because I have to go to God every single day in every single prayer and ask God for what? Forgiveness. And yet, we expect God to do it. Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, we ask you to please forgive us of our sins. It's in Christ's name we pray. And what's the next word? Amen. We do it in every single prayer. And we expect God to do it. But yet, sometimes, we don't want to forgive others their trespasses. It is so little what they've done to us in comparing to what we've done to Jesus Christ. We beat Jesus 40 minus 1. We spit on him. We cursed him. We mocked him. We did all these different things. And yet Jesus opened up his arms and said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And because Bobby or Teresa or Amy or Ashley or somebody says something about me, I'm going to pout. I'm going to walk around with an unforgiving spirit. Dennis, that's not right, is it? We need to have a forgiving spirit the same way that Jesus had a forgiving spirit. Now, that does not mean, let me be very clear, very clear. That does not mean that you have to be a floor mat for people to wipe their feet on. Do you understand that? You don't have to let people come in and walk all over you. That's not what forgiveness is. Now, if we can avoid a conflict, should we? Nah. I mean, yes, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we avoid one if we can? Absolutely. But if someone wrongs us, are we commanded to forgive that person? Absolutely. But we're not a floor mat for people to wipe their feet on. God does not want us to allow other people to mistreat us or our families. That's not what forgiveness is about. But he does expect us to have a forgiving spirit. He expects us to have a forgiving heart. When somebody comes to you and says, I am sorry, you don't need to judge them whether they mean they're sorry or not. Well, I think you're just saying that. I know what you're saying. No, you don't know anything, and neither do I. We don't really know what a person's thinking, do we? We speculate on it, but do we judge people all the time? Do I judge people all the time? Oh, that's a great big yeah. I know what you're thinking. Don't even look at me like that. Who am I? I'm not God. I don't know what you're thinking. And you might think, oh, I know what Jerry's thinking. No, you don't. I'm thinking about peanut butter cookies, and you're all about something else. The reality is, brothers and sisters, stop judging, start forgiving. Is that okay with everybody? Go to the book of Ephesians, and then we got to hurry up. Ephesians chapter 4, 30 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 30 through 32. Say amen if you found it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Is that all right? By whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all, give me the word. Anybody in here got bitterness? Wow. You know what? Misery loves company. I don't know why I'm so happy to hear that. I can't believe I just said that right there. Okay, but we do. Sometimes we're bitter and we want people to understand, right? Let all bitterness, wrath, anybody got some anger? Clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. What's the next three words? Even as God in Christ did what? Forgave you. So that's pretty simple. He's forgiven us, then go ahead and forgive those that sinned against us. Is that about right? So a godly life is a life of forgiving other people. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, 21 through 35, you'll read that later. That's about the unforgiven servant. Anybody from remember that? He goes to and says, hey, please, please, please forgive me. Let's just use a hypothetical thing. I owe you like $1 million, and I'm asking you to please forgive me. No. Please forgive me. I don't have any way of paying you back. Please. It's just $1 million, dude. Please. All right, I'll forgive you. Well, then he finds this same guy that was just forgiven about that $1 million debt, Bobby, there was another person owed him 96 cents. And so this same situation, he comes to him and says, I don't have the 96 cents. Please, can you let it slide? And he said, absolutely not. And he was ready to grab him by the throat, throw him into prison, and do all these different things. If you'll read that, and I'm paraphrasing it a little bit, but the reality is he wasn't willing to forgive somebody for 96 cents, but this guy forgave for over $1 million. Y'all getting the picture? That's kind of like us, isn't it? Sometimes we expect God to forgive us for all the things that we've done wrong, and yet we want to hold on to something really, really easy that shouldn't be that big of a deal. If you go back to the book of Matthew, Matthew 6, is anybody there? Matthew chapter 6, look at 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Y'all ready? For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also do what? All right. But if you do not forgive men, now Bobby, I want you to pay close attention to this. You're going to finish this up for me. Ready? But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, finish it up, Bobby. Did you hear what he said? Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So sis and ma, what this means is if you don't forgive me, this is some good Woodbine stuff. You ain't going to get forgiven. So you got to forgive me. Amen? All right. So no holding grudges, brothers and sisters. Only preachers get to hold grudges. All preachers, that's right, get to hold grudges. So the third and final point, and this lesson's going home with you. Y'all ready? A godly life is a life of dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We don't talk enough about the Holy Spirit, do we? How many sermons have you heard about the Holy Spirit? Not just since I've been your minister, but even before that. How many sermons have you heard about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? Not too many. I've been a Christian and a minister for about 28 years. I've heard probably 4, maybe 5, 3 of which I could understand. 2, I'm like, where is he at or where am I at? But I can tell you this, you don't have to search for the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's there. It's a gift. It belongs to you. I shouldn't even use the word it. I should use he, the Holy Spirit. Let me clear that up for you. In the book of Acts chapter 2, around verse 38, and I'll be there with you here in just a second, but we're going to look at that a little bit hard. But we have all been given some incredible gifts in our lifetime, haven't we? Some of you have been given cars and watches and rings and houses and all these things. And as I said before, all I've ever really wanted in life besides Christianity is my own helicopter, a private helicopter, and I still don't have it. But I can assure you that you've never, nor will you ever receive a gift as great as what God has given you with the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be what? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? And when you do that, you shall receive the gift. Wait. You shall receive the, put emphasis, gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is nothing. So based on what I'm saying, this is not anything that we can earn. This is nothing, Brother James Newberry, that we can go out and buy. This is not something I'm going to gain because of popularity or size or looks or anything. This is a gift, Harvey, from God, isn't it? The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's that spirit. I look at the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as a spiritual conscience. We know when we've done wrong, don't we? Especially as a Christian. If I am at home and I'm watching TV and something comes across there and it's got suggestive stuff in it, what should I do? Turn it off. But I don't. Not all the time. Now, if it's got a really bad rating, it's not going to be on my TV anyway because I'm cheap. I have one of those cheap cable things. But the reality is, even if it's rated R because of language or TM or whatever, because of the language, I don't turn it off like I should. Anybody guilty? Mm-hmm. The reality is we shouldn't allow anything to come in and to defile our minds, right? We need to be very careful about these things. We need to make sure that we're not doing them. Well, guess what? When I talk to you about that, I'm telling you about the Holy Spirit. Usually you get started, and of course, you know, Paula walk in, she'll sit down. What are you watching? It's got some language in it, but I think it's a pretty funny show. It's got Chris Tucker in it, and he's hilarious. Well, we'll sit there and we'll watch it for a minute, and it just gets funnier and funnier. Then the language gets worse and worse. And then guess who starts talking to me? I know a while ago I said that it's not audible, but that spiritual conscience, the Holy Spirit's like, okay, now Jerry, Chris Tucker's on. You're watching this, and you could be studying, getting your lesson together. Well, I think that's part of the gift of the Holy Spirit convicting me. Do y'all? So when you know you're involved in something that could cost you your identity as a Christian, when you know that it's not something you should be involved in, whether we classify it as a big sin or little sin, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit that keeps us in line. When your preacher mouths off and says some things that I shouldn't say, it doesn't take but just a second before the Holy Spirit knocks on my shoulder. And if I try to look the other way, he'll hit me in the jaw. And he'll let me know quick, that's wrong, get it fixed. Does that make sense? Don't reject the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. Put your dependence upon him. Amen. Having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us allows us to rely upon Jesus, allow upon God to equip us with what we need. Is that about right? He will empower us to do the job that we as Christians need to be doing, to strengthen us, because we all need strength. Anybody here besides the preacher need strength to be able to keep going? Only four people said, yeah, tell me how you're doing it then. So do we need strength? All right, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We also need the Holy Spirit to teach us, do we? We need him to guide us, do we? In Ephesians chapter 5, 18, the latter part of the verse, but be filled with the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. What a great gift from our Father above. This morning I believe we could go on and on talking about things we can do to show that we're living a godly life, things that the Lord calls us to do to live a godly life. I know we just touched a little bit. But we need today, brothers and sisters, to get in a habit of attendance, don't we? I know I preach it quite often because we need it quite often. But we need to be in a strong habit of our attendance. What about studying His Word? What about singing and making melody in our hearts? What about praying, giving back to the Lord, weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice? Folks, simply put, live godly every single day. Amen? Are you willing to do that? And are you doing that? Today it is my prayer, it is my hope, and it's my desire that I live a life pleasing to God, because there's coming a day. I know you've heard about it from many, many preachers, and you'll hear about it for a good while unless the Lord takes you, but there's coming a day. And there's going to be a day that we appear before the Lord for judgment, and you're going to hear one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Or you're going to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's up to you which one of those you're going to hear. So if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be in that place that's being prepared for prepared people, then make sure that we're living a godly life. The title of our lesson today, say it with me, A Godly Life. Do all that we can with these next 7 days. When we meet here again, let's all be able to come together and say, hey, this week's been a good week. We lived a godly life. Had a few hiccups, but we lived a godly life. Then the following week is a little bit better. And next week, we might not have done so well, but we can bounce back, can't we? Because we've got God on our side. And I can do, finish it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Today, if you're not a Christian, I beg you in the light of the Scriptures to become one. Hear His Word. You have. I've given it to you. Do you agree I've given it to you by Scripture? Hear it. Believe in the Word of Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus and what He's done for you and me. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess your belief with Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, in the presence of a witness or witnesses, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Upon that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Come out of that water grave of baptism. You're dead to sin, you're alive to God. Brother Larry's been bringing that out in the book of Romans, chapter 6, chapter 7, on Sunday nights. Live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed. Our brother's keeper. Maybe today you're a Christian. Maybe you're a child of God already, but you find yourself kind of walking around a little bit. You're just kind of in spiritual limbo. You know, you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us know. Let us help you. If you need anything at all, you're welcome to come right now. As together we stand and we sing.